Blog Talk Radio.
In the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger, and I certainly bear witness to the fact that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our comforter and our wandering guide in this time. And I would like to welcome you all to our Friday night study group, put on the new man, and to this very special broadcast on missing black youth. And before I introduce our host, I want to give a special thank you to some particular people who sponsored this this whole campaign that we're going to be doing all summer long on black missing youth. So I want to thank Brother Ray Muhammad and Club 17, Brother Erel Muhammad out of Houston, Texas, with Nation Bread. And I want to also thank, oh God, who am I forgetting? Brother Stanley Bateen Muhammad in Atlanta, Brother Rakeem Muhammad in Mississippi, and of course, Brother Jihad Amos Muhammad in the BYC. I want to thank all of you for your help and your consistency in this matter. And I want to thank you, through the Minister James Muhammad, for being equally as passionate on this subject matter as I am. And I don't know if Student Minister Tony is going to be able to join us or not. I'm sure he is with us in spirit because he kind of lit the torch for this. So, inshallah, I'm going to keep reaching out to him and we'll get him on. So I'm not going to delay any further in presenting our beloved brother and host out of Tampa, Florida, Student Minister James Muhammad, who has been a longtime soldier and an immaculate servant under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, dear Sister Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Wonderful always to hear your voice, and even in such a very serious and severe subject matter, which by the grace of Allah we shall be bringing attention to this evening. We always want to start by invoking the name of Allah and, inshallah, His help. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we bear witness to the oneness of Allah and to the oneness of His prophetic community. As Muslims, we believe in Jesus and the gospel or the Injil. As Muslims, we believe in Jesus, or rather in Moses and the Torah, or the Old Testament. And certainly as Muslims, we believe in Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, 1,400 years ago, and the Quran, which was revealed through, to and through him. Peace be upon all of these worthy servants of Almighty God. As students in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, under the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we can never thank Allah enough for intervening in our affairs in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the long-awaited Mahdi of the Muslims and the Messiah of the Christians. We thank Allah for his making himself known, and also we thank him for raising up from our midst his messenger, Messiah, and now exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the one whom the world has been awaiting and expecting for the last 2,000 years. We're so happy that Allah has revealed that it is a black man from among the former slaves. And we are also gratified that he is a Muslim. We thank Allah for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given the wonderful example of the quality of a human being, transcending religious labels and titles, and of course, dogma. I'm talking about our beloved and blessed Redeemer, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In their names, beloved brothers and sisters, those of you in our listening audience, those of you who are online, all of you from whatever persuasion or expression of faith you hail, we're very, very happy and honored to greet you once again with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And yes, ma'am. I just got a text from our beloved brother, student minister, Brother Tony Muhammad. He states, call him in 5 minutes, which was actually almost 5 minutes ago. So give him a few more minutes and please call him in.
Yes, sir.
We thank Allah that he's going to be on this show. Let me just ask, Sister Aziza has already brought us up to speed in her introductory remarks. Tonight's show is of a special nature.
Okay.
That is to say that there has been so much global attention focused on what occurred a few weeks ago. That is to say that I'm talking about the kidnap of 300 girls in Nigeria, reported to have been done by an Islamic group called Boko Haram. Whenever the enemy focuses attention on an injustice suffered by black people or people of color, particularly in Africa and in America, but particularly in Africa, then given the history of his treatment of us, given the history of his deprivation of justice for us, not just in the transatlantic slave experience, but that which is occurring as we speak, then we have to look at his professed concern and desire to fight injustice on our behalf with a skeptical eye. And so our brother minister, Tony Muhammad, suggested that we focus now on what the enemy is doing about that which is happening right here at his doorstep, right here in the Western Hemisphere, particularly in America, regarding kidnapped girls, kidnapped boys, kidnapped and missing children. And our search has revealed that the statistics are alarming. So we ask, how can we trust the sincerity of your expressed concern for injustice for 300 black or so-called African girls over in Nigeria when you've been so negligent here with the overwhelming amount of missing children that have been reported right here in the borders of your country, right here on your doorstep, and we don't hear these alarming reports on the news day in and day out? So Minister Tony suggested, which was a wonderful suggestion, and he's spearheading it, that we look now into what America is doing regarding the kidnapped victims right here in her border, and ask the question, why not highlight that on your evening news every day, and why not inspire our artists, you know, our celebrities, those of wealth of our community to give their charity towards stemming the tide of kidnapped children, abused children, sex trafficked children, or sex trafficked children here in America, particularly black children, but all children. So to that end, we have asked that some cities who were listening, groups who were listening, would research their statistics, and hopefully they'll report in tonight. And we're going to have Minister Tony, inshallah, direct, after his comments, the discussion this evening. So
he's on the line, Brother Dave.
Oh, he's on. Praise be to Allah. Well, then Let's bring him on. It is my great privilege, pleasure, and honor once again to present, I don't have to introduce him, but present to all of us now who are on listening on this show, our student minister, regional minister of the Western region, student minister Tony Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother James, and to Sister Aziza and to all that are listening on this line. I'd like to start off certainly by saying, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness. There is no God but Allah who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and we thank him for raising from among us the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is the exalted Christ. We are definitely indebted and grateful that Allah would leave with us a divine reminder, a divine warner, teacher, and guide in the personage of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Dear brother, it's an honor for me to hear you talk to our people, and it's really an honor to just serve the most oppressed people ever in the annals of history. You know, to serve a people who the Bible said became no people at all, to serve a people who have been mistreated for so long that the mistreatment now seems normal, to serve a people that has lost everything, who's been turned inside out. It's like we've been spin around so fast that now we're like a walking zombie and we know not the way. We don't know up from down, down from up, our left from our right. We don't know good from bad, wrong from right. We've been totally messed up. What is our name, our language, our culture? And brothers and sisters, to those of you who are listening, you may say, well, what does it matter? Well, that's what's wrong right there.
Go ahead, brother.
Because to every other ethnic group, their history matters. Their origin matters to them. Their name matters to them. Their deities matter to them. We're the only ethnic group in America. We've been so robbed, so spoiled, that we have taken on the enemy for a friend, and we're so full of self-hatred and vitriol towards one another, we don't give a damn about each other. But we have a sensitive heart for our oppressor. If he's hurting, we hurt. We hurt even worse. If he's concerned about something, we get more concerned about something. And so this is an hour that we are to wake up. We are to become resurrected mentally and spiritually, or we will go down with the enemies, dear family. So in this hour, to speak on this great subject of not just human trafficking, but it's human trafficking with a slant of sex trafficking. And I just think it's important because, Brother James, you have certainly laid it out for us. And what I mean by laying it out, I'm loving that there's a cry, you know, or there is a seemingly cry for our black girls in Africa. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Should be a cry.
That's right.
Boy, but it cannot come out of the heart of a hypocrite. See? It's called, as Martin Luther King say, justice for all. See? And wherever there is injustice, there has to be justice established. You see? What do I look like? Caring for a family two blocks from me and my family is going to hell.
Come on, brother minister.
Even when you get on an airplane, they give you the science of who you should take care of. Get on an airplane, and that flight attendant will tell you, now, if this plane lose cabin pressure, it didn't say look for everybody else on the plane to put the mask on. They tell you, you put yours on first. And once you put yours on first and you got your balance, then you start assisting others. So what do America look like? And as Brother James has said, when have you ever loved anybody outside of your European self?
Come on.
We have a history of who you are. We got your MO. We got on you what you have on all of our black men who lost the knowledge of themselves and who have become a criminal. You never let us let go of our record. Well, we're not going to let go of yours.
That's
because true. Now your kingdom is being weighed in the balance and being found wanting. Show me the sincerity that you care about 200 or 300 black girls in Africa. The only way you can show me you're concerned about the African girls is when you show me you are concerned about the black girls in Compton, the black girls in New York, the black girls in L.A., the black girls in Tampa, the black girls in Philly, the black girls in D.C., the black girls in the rural part of America, and white girls, and Latino girls, and Asian girls. Millions gone that you can account for in the borders of America. So you look like a hypocrite calling for, looking for some babies 9,000 miles away when you can't even find babies in America.
That's
I don't believe that you can't find them. You
come
can
on,
find
man.
Whatever the hell you want to find. So how can somebody in Africa depend on you to find their baby? Just like the Malaysian Airlines that went down, Flight 370. Them fools can't find that plane. So they better not act like they're expert in finding somebody else's plane. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So find these babies, you know. So where is Queen Latifah? When it comes to our babies, where's Ellen DeGeneres? When it comes to our babies right here in America, where are the top athletes? Where's all the money to be raised to find the babies in America? There's sex trafficking going on, and there's pimping going on. And I'm telling you, it's so much money in sex trafficking. The report in Los Angeles, the LAPD reported to us, that it's a $64 billion a year. And listen at what they said. They didn't say it was a $64 billion a year problem. They say it's a $60 billion a year business.
Mm-hmm.
When did sex trafficking become a business? I thought that was
come
a problem. Who's making
on,
a business? So if it's a business and it's $64 million, I wonder is Wall Street involved with that kind of money? See?
Mm.
Wherever
yes,
money is being made, you can look for the wickedly wise to be involved. You can look for the major multi-million dollar corporations to be involved in some kind of way.
That's
Paul
right.
said it best. We're not dealing with no flesh and bloods of them African babies and the wicked rulers of the darkness of this world. That's in not low places. That's in high places. Because we did an assessment in Los Angeles with the LAPD. And they're saying, Brother Tony, even the pimps are not making no $64 billion. The average pimp is only making about $200 to $300 off of one girl. So the money that's being made is in international sex trafficking, which a little local black pimp ain't involved to that level. And many of them have become a supplier. Girls are being sold for $15,000, $10,000 and sent out of the country and pumped with drugs. But nobody is crying over our babies, man. You know, and that's the sickness, brothers and sisters. We suffer from self-hatred. We are in a stupor of apathy. We love the white man so much that we hate our poor black self. That has to stop because he's showing us signs that he cares nothing about us unless he can make some money off of us. We have
no value to him unless he can see a dollar sign around us.
Come on, brother.
We have to stop. We need to have our own investigators. We cannot depend on CNN, CBS, ABC, and nothing. And come up with our own media outlets where our investigators have integrity and they serious about finding black babies.
That's right.
They got to have the spirit of Jesus that says, what man have 100 sheep and won't leave that 99 and go after that one? I know America ain't do it, but you'll never go after the 300 girls if you won't go after one black girl missing in Compton or Houston or Florida. Miss me. These people are hypocrites and they're ingenuous, even from the White House, even President Obama.
You better see.
So the politics game's got to stop, and the masqueraders need to be unmasked. And as it says in the scripture, we need to take the whore down and sit her in the dust and pull up their skirts and see their dirty shame.
Come on, Brother Tony.
In truth, brothers and sisters, America has proven to me that they can't be trusted in nothing.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Nothing. Nothing.
That's
they
right.
The worst. But a fool who's ignorant, who don't have a knowledge of himself and don't have a knowledge of the devil and the time and what must be done, you can be fooled. But you can't fool a Muslim, not a wide awake Muslim, not nowadays. We're not going to sleep on the watch. And you're not going to make a noise in Africa while we miss what you're doing right here in America.
Yes, sir.
We understand your game, white man. You make a move, a noise in the east, but you strike in the west.
Teach.
Because he don't want us to stumble up on his human sex trafficking. And what we're finding out from a couple of sisters who flew out here from D.C., who said that their number one client were men on Capitol Hill.
Mm.
Our lawmakers.
No doubt.
Yes, sir.
So if you having sex with babies, you don't give a damn about catching nobody else. It's hard to do what you're guilty of doing. If you are a fornicator and you are a minister, it's hard to teach on fornication when you commit adultery.
Right.
You can't really teach it from the right spirit.
That's right. That's right.
See? And you'll find excuses, not for the victims. You'll find excuses for those who've done to the victim what they've done to. Time it is. And we're not looking for America to care. This is not what this call is about. This is not even about casting an excursion to America. We know what they're not going to do. Brothers and sisters, this, to me, this call is about let us look for our own babies. Looking for our babies in America. There's enough black babies missing here in America.
Come on,
you know, so that, to me, that's where we are. And really, I wanted to hear from the audience mostly tonight to see, what are the stats in your cities? Have you, in fact, while we're talking, you can Google it right in your city. Just go on Google or Google a question. How many black girls are missing to human trafficking or sex trafficking? If you're in Houston, put the city of Houston in. If you're in New York, put New York in. See what they give you in social media. So that we can add up our numbers and write a report to the number one man who care on the planet.
Come on, Brother Minister.
See? Give it to the wise man. The wisest man I know on the planet. May not be to you, but to me. And I'll take my wise daddy, my wise father, my Lord.
Come on, beloved.
And match him up against your Lord. See? And when we take this wisdom to our Father, let's see what he do with it and give us guidance. And we need to start a movement in America to show the hypocrisy of America and to warn our people in Africa, don't you think America care about you? She ain't even looking for Shanae. And Shaweek Shaliqua.
Come on, brother.
Quoquees. We're finding out in L.A., brother, in L.A., that at least 9% of human sex trafficking are now boys.
Yes, sir.
In foster care, boys and girls in foster care. These freaks, brother, on Capitol Hill, there are certain of them in law enforcement. Some officers in L.A. got caught having sex with boys. We can't trust nobody no more. Well, we shouldn't have never started trusting them. We've been lulled to sleep. That's what we're looking for tonight. We're looking to do a calculated count, come back on a press conference for those who want to make this a national matter. I mean, I'm talking about national to the point where we should go to the United Nations with our report.
Yes, sir.
So that's
yes,
what we are tonight, to do our own investigation, to talk about our own atrocities, to put our own atrocities before the world. And maybe at a point we get with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and see if we can have a national press conference around that issue in America with some of
our
top leaders and scholars. That's where we're trying to go with this. So really, we need to hear from those of you in your city, you know, mostly reporting. You know, you certainly could call and agree, but for tonight's sake, we want numbers. We want to know if you know how many in your city. And if you don't know how many, then what advice could anybody give us in terms of how do we take this to the national and international stage?
Come on, man.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. We have a lot of people on the phones, and I know there was one particular group from Virginia that was on the phone. I don't know who they designated to speak. We are going to take your questions or your report or your comments. So press 1 on your dial pad, area 240. I got you. Just stand by for a second because I want to share something with the listening audience as well as you, Brother James, and you, Brother Tony.
Yes, ma'am.
From the U.S. Justice Department, I received an updated report that goes through May 31st of this year. The last report I gave was only up to December 31st of 2013. But as of March 31st, in Texas, where I live, surprisingly, there are 3,733 children that are missing. Now, that's just in Texas. Now, we got 50 states. But on a national level, as of March 31st, there are 949,516 children missing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of that 949,000, 289,962 are black.
Wow.
That's almost 200,000 children. Also,
if you compare that as a percentage scale and compare that to our overall percentage in terms of just ethnicity, that would be high.
Yes, I think we're at 34% with the Hispanics. The Hispanic population is 238,440 as of March 31st, which is putting them out about 28%.
And we only make up, what, 12% of the American population?
Mm.
Yes.
Come on, beloved.
See, that's triple. That's insane, family. See, we don't know how to read numbers. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, brother, when white people give report in comparison like what you're doing, Sister Aziza, we gotta know how bad the problem is by magnifying what population do we make up. There's no way. that we should be making up that many more missing children. White folks, since they make up the biggest population, should have the most missing. But it's not. So that means there's an attack.
Well, Brother Tommy, on that, they do. They do lead us in the missing.
624,800
white people.
Yeah, I got you.
Let me just say this. When it comes to children, it don't matter what color they are, because a child, you know, they have a right to life, and you are snatching children for whatever reason, sex trafficking, you're a serial killer, you're a child molester, whatever it is. You know, these are innocent children. Now, Brother Tony, the stats that I gave you are missing children from ages 0 days to 18.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
So this does roll over into our adult, our young adult black females and males. This is not any statistic involving anyone over the age of 18. There are hundreds of thousands or more that are over the age of 18. We're just dealing with the children right now. That's the number, for 18 and below. And there's even an astronomical number when we're looking at the 35 to 54 age group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, the Justice Department has cataloged these statistics since 1983. That is when this database was created. So some of these children have been missing since 1983. And never to be found. So may all of them certainly not involved in sex trafficking, because it probably wasn't that prominent back then. But whatever the reason is, to me, this cries for protection and unity and security in our own community. Something is going on in our communities where somebody can come in and snatch our children all over the country. So it's something that we need to do to prevent. Now, we know they're making money off of our children hand over fist. But when we talk about the human resource, then they are doing the same thing, the same identical thing that they did when they brought us over here in chains. They are eradicating our race slowly but surely. When our children come up missing, all those children, Brother Tony, 289,962
yeah.
children, that number will never reproduce a generation.
Wow.
They never reproduce. That does not include the ones who are over 18, but just that 300,000 almost will never reproduce a generation. That is the game. That is the focus.
Yeah.
And that
and
is
history. And Sister Azizi, you're absolutely right. But don't, and brothers and sisters, add to this. There's a mindset. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Brother Minister.
And, the minister have said, always put the mind, the satanic mind out there. What is the satanic mind? See, what was the mind of Pharaoh in ancient Egypt? Because the
That's
mind
right.
that was in that Pharaoh is the same mind that's in the modern ruler today. He wanted to
yes,
deal
sir.
Wisely with the children of Israel to keep them from multiplying.
Come on.
See?
That's what
said,
I'm
because
talking
if
about.
They multiply, they may grow up and remember and join on to an enemy of ours and come against us. When it was time for Jesus or Christ to be born, Herod had that same nervousness. He said, wait a minute. He didn't say just kill all boy babies. He said go kill all babies, two and under.
Mm-hmm.
See? Now, not only, dear sister, we got to find out where's the value. See? Body parts are for sale also. There was an article ran in the Final Call newspaper that indicated what body parts was going for.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Because there are rich and wealthy white people with diseases to where they need body parts. What ex-
extent
That's
they
right.
would go to get a body part.
Hmm.
See, what is a heart going for? What is a spleen going for? What is a kidney going for? What is a liver going for? What is a lung going? How much is it worth to them? Because they want to live. See, and we got to tie all this in together. And remember, J. Edgar Hoover said, we must stop the rise of a black messiah.
That's right.
If you go back to 1970, President Nixon, he said it openly. He said the number one problem in America was black people. He said, but because there's a consciousness, we cannot openly show racism anymore. He said we have to do it in a systematic way that they don't know what's coming at them. And
That's
look
right.
at now that fits a scripture in Jeremiah. With Jeremiah 11, chapter 19, verse, he said, my people is like a lamb or an ox that is brought to slaughter, and they knew not that they was devising devices against them, saying, come on, let us cut them off from being a people, and come on, let us cut them off from the land of the living. See, all of this is in scripture, man. They doing what they supposed to do by nature. The problem is we're sleeping on the job.
That's right.
That's the problem, you see. And I'm telling you, this is a very, very important issue, and we must bring this to international and national attention.
Thanks,
Sister Aziza. Thank you so much, because those numbers are critical, and you're right. It don't matter what the color is if babies are missing. You see, that's an atrocity, and it's happening in America. So what we're saying is, how dare you act like you care for some other babies when you ain't
doing that for the ones
you have in your own borders.
Right. And, you know, my whole point was to really bring this issue to the forefront to us, because just like anything else, Brother Tony, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching us to do for self, and then the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan came back right behind him and said, reiterated that we need to do for self because you can't depend on your government. Now unemployment is out of control and black people are unprepared. So this is the same thing that happens when a child comes up missing in our community. We are unprepared. And so we still have to try to go and deal with the open enemy to get our children. And I don't want to monopolize the conversation, but I want to share this with you because I made a statement last week, and I wanted to reconfirm that statement today. And I have confirmed it that in most states in the United States, and I want everybody to listen to me carefully because this is critical. If your child is 10 years or older, unless you can prove that your child came up missing under suspicious or unusual circumstances, your child is filed as a runaway. That means that law enforcement will not intervene anywhere from 48 to 72 hours, depending on your jurisdiction. Now, if your child is 10 and below, depending on the circumstances under which your child disappeared, you will receive an Amber Alert. But an Amber Alert is not issued when a child, a black child in particularly, just comes up missing. That child has to be proven to law enforcement that that child is in danger. So most of the time, even with white children, most of the time when you get an Amber Alert, it's because somebody is suspected of being kidnapped or abducted. But they don't really, you know, we don't really enforce, you know, that the media gets our information out there. When someone tells us no, we simply fold our hands and walk away. But we don't have time to wait 48 to 72 hours. Who in the hell said that we can't put our boots on the ground and go look for our children? I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. And if my children come up missing, Who is going to stop me from going to look for my children? Who's going to stop from knocking on my brother's doors, my cousin's doors, my FOI's doors, you know, my peacekeeper's doors, my Panther Party, my Hebrew Israelites, and say, hey, yeah, we're going to hit the streets and look for my child. Who can stop us?
That's right. Don't accept
those barriers that the police tell you. Don't accept that malarkey, because at the same time when you're sitting up there trying to negotiate with them, your child is somewhere being molested, somewhere being killed, somewhere getting their throat cut, somewhere being sold into sex trafficking. And then, you know, we're talking about organ harvesting, but then, you know, NASA's in the process of making a new man, extracting the black germ and the brown germ and trying to see how his naked behind is going to survive. So that ain't nothing new to us either. Now, this is real. Now, I'm going to shut up because I'm getting emotional, but
That's not emotional. That's passion.
Well, you know, it's emotional, Brother Tony. I'm going to tell you why. Because I can bear witness that Allah is God. Because I was a missing child. And Allah didn't have to spare me. And when I say spare me, I don't mean just spare my life. I wasn't brutalized. I wasn't raped. You know, I was held captive, but Allah saw fit to get me out of that situation. But Brother Tony, we got so many babies that don't make it back home.
That's right.
They don't make it back home.
True.
And that's why I personally cannot, will not turn a blind eye to this. I was missing for 8 days. Those men could have did anything to me they wanted to do. But by the grace and mercy of Allah, all they did was tie me up. And that was nobody but God. I don't care what nobody say.
Absolutely.
So we got so many children that come up raped, that come up mutilated. And if they do survive, they are so mentally and emotionally destroyed, they can't function. And their entire life goes into a waste basket because of the trauma that nobody can speak to. So, yeah, it's emotional for me. And I thank Allah. So that's why and many of us, as black women in particularly, who have been sexually abused, molested, or whatever it is, raped, we cannot afford to sit quietly
allow
it to continue to happen to our babies. I don't care what's going on with you. Don't inflict that upon your children or someone else's children. And you're inflicting it by turning a blind eye and being neglectful to the community. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm talking to myself. Because I get so caught up in what I'm doing that maybe I'm not doing enough in my community for our children. But everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do a little something that'll end up meaning a whole lot. And that's all I'm trying to say. So if y'all want to take some calls right now, they're out here. Thank you.
Thank you, dear sister.
Thank you, Queen, for those statistics. And we do understand the emotional content and quality of your expression. Never apologize for that. But those statistics are alarming. And as Minister Tony and yourself, I want to hear from the audience the compiled statistics and the research that was done. So let's go, if it's all right with you, Student Minister
Tony. Absolutely.
Let's go to the audience. It's Sister Aziza.
Okay. Yes, sir. Area code 240. Your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. Oh, I recognize that.
Yes, I'm coming. I want to give everybody the greetings and love. Student Minister Tony and Brother Student Minister James. You know, I'm listening to this, and I talked to Sister Azusa, and I'm looking at the news and all this stuff that's going on. And then I want to pray, say, bear witness, there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. You know, sometimes I think we say that, and we really don't get the full understanding of it. You know, Allah appeared here in the hills of North America in the great Mahdi, Master W. Farah Muhammad. And he brought a supreme wisdom to us. And in that teaching was one was raised up to be an infant Messiah, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And they taught many men. And we got to be thankful for the one that, out of all of those men, to be chosen as a servant to stand up and rebuild the nation of Islam. And what we are talking about, it's when we start talking about what's going on in the society, and when we don't look inwardly, you know, I'm looking in the Bible, and I'm looking in Corinthians, I think that's the right pronunciation. You know, I'm not a minister per se, I'm a captain, and I'm going to just say a few things, and we can take it on and get these stats. But, you know, I've been getting stats and numbers all my life, and nothing happens until where in this book, in the 7th chapter in the 14th verse, and if you read that and go on a little to the 8th verse, Solomon is talking about something here, and God is saying something. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. But he goes on to talk about my eyes been open and prayers in this place, and Solomon built this place to secure the children of Israel. You're talking about the children here now. You read it for yourself, and you ministers can go ahead and dissect this and talk about what I'm talking about. But when you look at the men, the military, that the God came.
Come on, Brother Cat.
The God, well, Muhammad came and set up something called the FOI, the fruit of Islam, the very best of the tree. Now, who in the hell are we looking for to go find some children? And see, Sister Z's was talking about knocking on the door. But prior to 1975, I went down every street in Los Angeles almost with some soldiers knocking on doors. So if somebody's child was missing, we was going to find that child block by block, door by door, even though
come
we were taking the Muhammad speech.
Come
the
minister
of Farrakhan have already said what he needs to say to us. He said, get in the street, man. What do we do? We don't turn back into a church. Now we want to sing and preach and talk. And we and you look when you stop. I want to say to the, my ministers on this line, the students, when you
come
go over the
Brother
house, you stop and you look at your military, you got to ask yourself, sit down. Why are we tolerating these weak people who are perpetrating to call themselves captains? Are they captains? Are they working for Diego Hoover, even though he's not here, but whoever's in charge of the FBI right now? Who's in charge of causing the men not to have the zeal and the spirit? Because it's not the word. I'm listening to Minister Tony. I'm listening to Minister James. I'm listening to Minister Nuri and Ishmael. I hear words coming. I hear spirit coming. I hear what's coming from Abu Rusfaka, but I'm looking at a dead military. I'm looking at the
fruit
on the ground, and there is no trees being produced. And then there are men that's actually generals in this nation that is actually being denied access to the fruit. So the fruit not going to grow. It's not going to produce anything until somebody can come and say, hey, man, this is how this is supposed to be done. Don't tell me about baking no damn cake, and you ain't never baked no cake. You just up there perpetrating fraud, and when you're in charge of something and you allow it to take place, just like the head of the FBI, I mean the Veterans Administration, the head man didn't know what the hell was going on with all these hospitals, but he said, I got to take responsibility and step down and get the hell out of the way and let God come forth. I'll tell you, read this scripture that I just told you about and see what God was telling Solomon. And if you don't do it, he goes on, he says, as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be anointed and say, why has the Lord done thus to the land at this house? And they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God for their father who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other other gods and worship them and serve them. Therefore, he has brought all the calamity on them. Hell, when you're looking for a white man for a job, that ain't the teaching of the great Mufti Master Devin Farad Muhammad and the most honored Elijah Muhammad. They said, do something for self. When you
That's
got a
right.
damn mosque full of men and everybody's got a job on a slave master job, how you can't even watch your own child when you go into the 9 to 5 every day, huh?
Come on, beloved.
I just want to say that. I'm out. I just wanted to let you know that's my perspective. And God has brought me from death to life, going through cancer and dealing with issues and struggling. And you know, I'm just telling you, all the people that I know in the nation, you know, ain't no brotherhood. Get the hell out of here with that. Anybody called me and say, brother, can I send you a few dollars? I remember you was in Atlanta. You were strong. Well, hell, you didn't see me. What you thought happened? But you heard that I was sick. But did you send me a get well card? Just my, you know what I want to say. But I want to just say to you, cut the bullshit and let's do what we're supposed to do. Raise the army of God. We already got what we need. We got to start in the house. We can't look for the government and nobody else to solve this problem. Let's get the stats, but let's go back in the house and build an army of God and do it street by street, block by block, door by door, and I guarantee you, you will find that you'll get all the support that we need from our people. Our people are dying and suffering. Today, there are more homosexuals in Atlanta and lesbians in Atlanta than it is in San Francisco, and it's spreading wide and across the country. Everywhere you look, you see women with women because they say, where the men? And Arthur Lewis Parker just said a few nights ago, he said, sisters, your stock is down because where the men? It's a shortage. It's a shortage. And I'm telling you, we got some homosexuals calling themselves captains and ministers. Stop the bull crap and let's pay attention to the leader, the teacher, and the guide, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I love you all very much. Thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. We love you too, Brother Captain Curtis. But don't go anywhere. Please, brother, don't go anywhere yet. Thank you for those wonderful and fiery and truthful words. But don't go anywhere yet there, brother, please.
Well, I don't know if I agree with all of that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't agree with everything. And I love Brother Curtis, you know, but to say that, you know, we have to be careful in our language. We have to be careful saying everybody that's a captain or whatever are faggots or sissies. And that's not what the book teach, man, you know. And I'm certainly not going to tear down my own nation. You know what I mean? Because there's some misunderstandings or there may be some lack of training, you know, and I'm not going to be a Columbus to my own nation. I don't want to be a part of a call like that, you know, to, because I don't know if there's some captain or minister that's a homosexual in the nation. I don't know that. I'm not saying that there isn't, but I wouldn't put that out there like I definitely know that. So I just disagree with that aspect. And I love Brother Curtis. Brother Curtis mean what he say when it comes to going and get our people. And I know he love our people. I've seen him in action. But we can't let our pain or our frustration not, you know, cause us to speak against the very thing that lift us. You know, so that's the only part, you know, that I disagree with. Do we need better training? Of course. We need better training. Who's qualified to do it? You know, and no one can inhibit nobody from training people. All you got to do is start training them. So I just, that part disturbed me a little bit, you know. So, but I'm done with that aspect of it. But I can't, I got to be true to myself. But I know that brother, and I love that man, because I know what he will do. It's just that I don't agree with that aspect of speaking against my own nation and saying that it's homosexuals in the captainships and the leadership. I couldn't do that.
Thank you, Brother Minister.
Okay.
Well, pardon me, sis, but I just want to respond. You know, when emotion is involved, things are said out of context. But I agree with Minister Tony, and sometimes I get fired up and may speak a word out of context. But I agree with you, Student Minister Tony, and I agree with Brother Captain Curtis as well. The emotional content in those areas, of course, we don't know that there are any homosexuals, as you said, in the captaincy or in the ministry. I'm striving to be a student in the ministry, and it would be a sad, sad revelation for me to find out that that exists in the class that I am attempting to be a student of. But I do understand emotional content as related to the condition that prevails. And I understand also, Brother Minister Tony, you, and I want to thank you for bringing in a measure of balance with your response there, brother. Thank you. That is a lesson for us all. Thank you, dear brother.
You're welcome.
Assalamu alaikum. All right, let's continue.
Let me just say this. Look, we all fall short of the glory of God, so let us move forward and let us commit to strive to do better in all our endeavors each day. Okay, so, wow. Area code 804, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Tasha X from Richmond, Virginia.
Wow.
I have Sister Fatima on the phone, who is our teacher at Respect for Life. And we're calling in for information.
Yes, ma'am.
I first would like to thank you guys for bringing this to our attention. We've been actually experiencing a lot here in Richmond, Virginia, in these past couple of months. We just recently had a young lady, and we're trying to teach and guard our youth by letting them know that the devil doesn't always look like a white man, that he looks like us as well. We've had some of our own people out here abusing our children. We just recently had a 50-year-old black male who was dressed in a full suit, gray, 10-stripe suit, who attempted to abduct a young girl. I don't know her exact age. It was between the age, okay, my daughter is telling me that she was 12 years old. And he tried to abduct her right on her own street. He tried to snatch her in the car and take her away, and she fought him off. All praise be to Allah. So sex trafficking is what I found out from our research is very, very potent here in Richmond, Virginia. We have also just recently buried an 8-year-old young man. Him and his sister were actually playing behind the house on the railroad track. And a young man at the age of 16 years old, between 14 and 16, no, I think he was 16, Hanaya, my daughter, corrected me. And the young girl was 11 or 12. He attacked her, started to beat her and rape her. Her 8-year-old brother went to defend his sister, fight this young man off. And he beat this young man with a brick till he died. He killed his 8-year-old boy and then continued to rape this young girl. It's bad out here. And this is a 16-year-old child who did this. And the anger goes out, but then my thought goes to, what happened to him to make him be like this? So as all of this was happening, this call came up, and I happened to be listening to it. And I was speaking to my daughter about it, just trying to make her aware of why I am so diligent on her, where she's going, where she's bound. And I told her that Minister Tony Muhammad asked us to do something in our city. And I'm talking to her on the way to school. She's in Respect for Life as number 24. And she immediately picked up my phone and started looking at the statistics of the missing people, children in our city. So when we arrived at the school, we talked to the director, Sister Zatina Mahom, and she was all for doing anything that we can to help bring awareness not only to the missing children, but also the families who go unnoticed after the news goes off, or if they even make the news. So this is, Sister Zatina is on the line with her daughter, who is also a student, with some of the statistics. Sister Zatina, are you there?
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam.
Thank you so much, as Sister Tasha has mentioned, and everyone that I've heard speak mentioned the importance of this topic and the fact that we are taking it on, us as a responsible to our children taking this on and approaching it from the logical sense. And thinking about how we're going to go about helping to find these children. So anyway, what I did was I composed a lesson plan for the youth, asking them, well, first introducing the idea of what Sister Tasha mentioned in reference to Brother Tony Muhammad and his request in reference to us helping to find our own children. And we sat down and we decided that what we would do is we would research everyone would be assigned a child. And although our numbers are quite hefty, we're at 38 for the city of Richmond and the surrounding area in reference to black youth that are still missing. And the numbers fluctuate. It depends on the site that you visit, what day and what time. But it's been really, in the last 2 weeks, approximately between 35 and 38 children. So I assigned each child, each student, a child to help find, to help locate. One of the first children that were assigned, as a matter of fact, is Sister Hanaya, Sister Tasha's daughter, was assigned to look for a child that was a Muslim. These were two Muslim brothers that were outside playing, and they were at ages at the time. I'll let Sister Hanaya tell you about it, but I don't want to take that from her. I'd like her to tell you the story. But they were actual Muslim children, you know, Nation of Islam children at the time in which they were accepted. So anyway, the students actually did their research, and I have three that I can report on. This one student, Brother Kevin Craddock, he actually was looking for a young man, Antoine Deshaun Barrett Knight, from Norfolk, Virginia. And these children are determined to find these children and help find them or help the families to deal with trying to find them. So they've created flyers and all such. But he actually said he looked everywhere under the missing persons, including social media sites. The only information he could find, and he's a ninth grade student, the only information he could find, and he's Twitter happy, he's Facebook loving, Instagram loving, and he still couldn't find anything on her except for the small information that was put into the national registry. The next child is Brother Ali Muhammad. He's only 8 years old, and what he came up with is he decided to actually make a flyer. He could not find pictures of this child, Markeisha Boyd. She's been missing since just May the 17th of this year, a 15-year-old female. And she actually, there's no pictures of her, which, it baffles me with all the technology that we supposedly have. There were so many children without at least a picture to represent who they are.
Wow.
He said, so what he decided to do is he took the clothing that they said that she was last found in, and he drew a picture of her and put the color of the clothing, and he's 8 years old and came up with a composite sketch from the description himself.
Wow.
Yes, sir, I'm holding that in my hand.
Oh, my God.
But finally, the one I'm going to report on, and I'll let my daughter, Sister Jamia, report on hers, and Sister Hanaya will report on hers. But Brother Nigel actually is a 10th grader, and he was looking for Tyshawn Marquell Brown. He has been missing since October the 4th, 2012. So it's going on 2 years now. He's from the city of Norfolk, Virginia. He actually had no picture of him still. He was last seen at an unknown location, they say, but as they're considering him, like Sister Aziza said, that if they're a certain age, they're considered a possible runaway. So it's kind of pushed to the back. It does say what he was last seen, though. And that's about it. We're going to be diligent, inshallah, and we have a total of, we're just starting, this is our first year, all praise due to Allah, so we're celebrating the graduation ceremony on June the 20th, and we're going to keep pushing to try to locate some of these children and have some good news when we come in.
Wow. And what city is that, dear sister?
We're actually Richmond, Virginia. We're Muhammad's Mosque, number 24, in Richmond, Virginia.
Ma'am.
Under the leadership of Brother Student Minister Tracy Muhammad, and our and that's at the local level, of course. Our regional is Brother Student Minister Kadir Muhammad.
Oh, yes.
And so we're kind of fired up about this, and we thank y'all for bringing this to the forefront, and we love the opportunity for our youth to be involved in helping themselves and to make them aware. Some of the details we were reading while we were doing the research were quite gruesome. Some of the children, you know, you could see the pain in their faces. As a matter of fact, for today when we had to report, you had a couple that the Spirit of Allah showed in, and when they couldn't, you know, say that they had did any research, they actually humbled themselves. You could see they were disappointed in themselves that they didn't. So this is a wonderful way to teach our children compassion and to make them aware of everything that we possibly can arm them with. So all praise
to sister, that is, you all went above and beyond the
That's
call
right.
of duty. That is such a great example. You know what I mean? Just when everybody do a little, the little we do for ourselves is actually a lot. So to just hear what you've done there just with the students to get the babies involved, they care so much that a child would take and do a composite sketch of another child. I mean, come on, man. Look at what's in our children. Look at the God
come
that's
on,
in
man.
Our babies. Excellent job. Excellent report, man. And that's the systematic thing that I'm talking about. After we know better, then we do better. We have to apply what we know. And that is awesome. Thank you. Thank you for that report. Y'all, you just lift my spirit.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Walaikum salam.
This is Sister Jamia, 8th grade student of Respect to Life Academy, Muhammad.
Yes.
And I have a report on my missing person, Gabrielle Monique Bradshaw. She's 16 years old. She's been missing since April 16th, 2014. And I found out that it's 10 days before her 17th birthday. So she was, actually it was 10 days before her 16th birthday. She was on dress shopping, and that's when she went missing. They could only identify her by her driver's license picture, which was inside of the bag when she dropped it, I guess, after being taken. And there is a... the mother says, ma'am, that there is a slight possibility that she is with either her father or her uncle. So it could be a family matter, but I will look more into that. In reference to social media, they have dedication pages to her on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. And so far, that is all I have found about Gabrielle Bradshaw.
Beautiful. Beautiful, dear sister. You've done as much as the FBI and the CIA has done possibly. You know, and that is just
quite remarkable. Thank you. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah,
baby.
Thank you. That's you right, know. Beloved. That's right.
You know, you
I'm
all
like,
should be commended. That is powerful.
Thank you, sir. Before the sister comes back on with Sister Hanaya, I just wanted to say real quick that our youth also looked at a list of different ways of how to find a missing child. They came up with a list, and if Sister Hanaya can find it, if not, I think I have it in my phone. I'll have Sister Jamie report on it if we have the time.
Wait a minute. The children came up with a list of how to find them in terms of things
yes,
we could do? Oh, that's
yes, sir.
That's you know what? And that, to me,
well,
that is as important as knowing what to have in your survival kit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I would like to have that list to spread throughout my region, the region that I've been placed served. I would love to see that list.
Yes, sir. Will do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm going to make a message to Joshua. This is my daughter, Sister Hanaya. She doesn't have her paperwork in front of her, but she's going to speak about some of the things that she found out about her missing person. Here you go, Hanaya.
Come on, Sister Hanaya.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
My name is Sister Hanaya, and I'm in the fifth grade, and my person name was Jamal Farouk, and he had a brother, an older brother named Basil, and he was 8, and Jamal was 7, and they went missing April 16th, 1990. They found the body of Basil. His jaw was gagged, and he had 2 stab marks in his back, but we still haven't not found Brother Jamal. And I did call the customer service of the police report, the police department, and they didn't give me the exact police report that I was looking for to see if he was still missing or if he's okay or not. So I'm still doing research on him, and I still remember some of the things that we listed to help to find them.
Yes, yes.
And some of them were to search them, find the police report, look at any images of them, see if we ever have seen them before, go meet the parents, social media. So far, that's all I remember.
Yes, oh, dear sister. 10 years, I mean, just to hear this report, from the babies,
God.
From you all, I mean, the hair is standing up on my arm, and it just
come on,
lets
brother,
me know
brother.
The seriousness of the time. Because
yeah.
to hear this young baby girl give that report, I mean, it, you know, and it makes you angry, and it makes you want to hurt somebody about what's happening to our children. And
yeah.
as the sister said, it matters not what color you are, man. You crazy enough to hurt our babies. Care what color you are, you have
that's
to be
right.
dealt with according to our teaching. So
that's right.
I mean, you all have touched me in a way that I mean, it's just I'm filled with joy to know that you all are doing this in Richmond. I mean, you all, this is the crowning moment of this call so far. So thank you. We have to do what you all are doing there. That needs to be taught. And these are the
That's
kind
right.
of things
That's
that
right.
we have to do at our Savior's Day. You know what I mean? We have to have training seminars on how, you know, the talk is over. We got to be about the business of doing. You know, we got to go into doing this, man. And these babies are doing. They are in front of their computer. They're looking for their sister. They're looking for their brother. You know, I mean, you all have taken this to a whole nother level. I didn't expect this. Thank you, thank you,
wow.
thank you.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam. I could not locate the list here. I'm at home, of course. So, inshallah,
okay.
we'll locate list and put it up on our Facebook page, which we are friends. So just, inshallah, you can like it on respectforlifeacademy.com. I mean,
yes. And thank you. Thank you, because what you all have done lives up to the name of the school, Respect for
Praise
Life. Thank you. Oh, my God.
Now that is something.
Wow.
Allahu Akbar.
I contain myself. Oh, okay.
Next report.
Yes, okay. We're going to talk to Atlanta. Last four numbers, 6820.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, I am enjoying the short show as always, and I was just calling in to see had anybody seen this YouTube video. It's this rabbi by the name of, I know his last name is Frankenstein. I don't know exactly what his name is. If I get it before I get off the phone, I'll let you all know. But, yes, his name is Abraham Frankenstein. And he's on some preacher's talk show, and the preacher is asking him questions or whatever. And he's like, yes, we kidnap children. Every year we kidnap a certain amount of children, and we drink their blood. And he said that we sacrifice them, we drink their blood, and we're not canners. So we have our brothers who are in the kosher department, and basically they shred it and they make meat, and McDonald's is one of their biggest consumers. Like, they buy their product or whatever. And basically he said, like, we drink the blood of our enemies. He said that, I guess he's a Jew. He said that our enemies is the white race. He said, and they go to McDonald's and they're eating their own children, and they don't even know it. He said, we wrote about it in a book, you know, and people don't want to read and they don't want to listen. He said, even I can come out and tell them that, you know, we deal like this or whatever. We drink their blood. We kidnap their children. We sell it to McDonald's. They eating their children, but they won't believe me. He told the preacher, he said, you have been telling them this for how long? For how many followers do you have? So it's just about us, like you all are saying, like just being cautious of, you know, what's going on around us and understand that we are at war, and this is a divine war, and stop trying to, you know, feel so sorry for other people, like Brother Vincent said, like, you don't even feel sorry for yourself, but you quick, you know, you don't even love yourself, but you quick to love your enemy, and that's the sickness that we have. Like Elijah Muhammad said, like the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you know, we love our enemies because they do nothing for us. They give us death and destruction. Minister Farrakhan has been teaching on they killing us through our stomach. You know, and if we go to these places, these McDonald's and these Wendy's and all that, we're killing our children, we're killing our future. And of course, if they're doing stuff like this, they don't care about us, of course. Elijah Muhammad told us a long time ago that we can't even think of the thoughts of the wicked. We can't think like that because we are by nature righteous. So that's just a heads up for all of us, McDonald's, Wendy's, eating, all these burger places and all of that. We have to stop this madness because it's killing us.
Oh, thank you, dear sister. I got to get that. Ooh. I got to check this video out. Thank you.
McDonald's and it's called McDonald's. What is it? It's the truth about McDonald's and missing children. That's what it's called.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That right now.
Oh, wow. Assalamu alaikum. I'm sorry.
Wa alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
No, thank you.
Thank you for sharing this. Thank you. Okay. Area code 702. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum, Queen.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
This is Brother Kim out of Las Vegas. I really am enjoying the show. You know, what I heard from Mars 24, it captivates the show right there.
Oh, yes.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's
you
right.
You know, I'm so moved by what I heard from our young people engaging themselves in looking up other children.
Oh, yeah.
It, it's really touching. You know, I wouldn't know what to do. I have two beautiful daughters and two sons, and to have one of them come up missing, it would be unthinkable. You know, I mean, what we have is we have a crisis in America concerning us as a people, and we must engage ourselves, as Brother Tony said. You know, it's no more room for talking. It's about doing. And we have to find our niche in where we can help. You know, we have an epidemic here in the city of Las Vegas with young girls' prostitution in the casinos. And, you know, they go in and out of the strip hotels freely. You have billionaires down there buying our young girls. And they engage in this type of activity. And we don't really understand what we are dealing with. You know, we as parents, we have to understand that this is also a parenting issue. We as parents have to become engaged in the affairs of our children. We have to know where they're going. We have to know what type of activity they're involved in. We have to know who they are interacting with. We got to know everything that our children do. We have to have Facebook. We have to have Twitter, Instagram, because if not, we have these pedophiles that are on these websites that want to get next to our children. If we're not engaged in our children's activity, then our children become victimized to the satanic forces that rule this society. So I'm looking to be a part of a crusade and help finding our children. You know, the first laws of nature is self-preservation. I mean, so we got to fall in love with ourselves, and this has to be spoken about on a national level, not just in the Nation of Islam, but all of our black people need to be engaged in this constructive conversation, because the more that we know, the more that we give ourselves an opportunity to do. The less that you know, the less you are aware of what's going on in society, and the enemy has rocked us to sleep. So this type of show that you are having, sir, is very, very critical, and it's very important that this show be spread far and wide. And whatever we have to do on the West Coast, man, I'm a part of, you know. I really want to help, you know, because I love children, because I love my own children. You know, how can I be a father of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan and just be concerned with my children? I have to be concerned with all the children. You know, this is what the Jesus is doing today, which is the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. He just don't love us. He loves all of our black people. So, you know, we have to have that same mindset and that same zeal and that same spirit. I mean, we got to know what's going on. And Brother Tony, whatever you going to do out west, brother, I know Brother Duke, he's going to ride with you, brother, and I'm going to ride with Brother Duke, brother. So whatever you do out west, brother, with this crusade, make sure that you put Vegas in that number, because we want to help, my brother.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Praise
thank you
to Allah.
Thank you, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, brother. Okay. Yeah. Area code 267. Your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and but Muhammad is his messenger. Brother James and minister, student minister, Brother Tony and Queen Aziza, I am grateful for your sacrifices and your efforts, and I truly, truly, truly appreciate you. Thank Allah for you. This program is one of the few, I've been listening for a while now, and this is one of the, I think, most emotionally grasping issues that has ever come up, you know, on this particular show in the airways for me. I just wanted to say that when I heard the young sister in the fifth grade Respect for Life talk about the details and the fact that it was a Muslim child in the nation that had been murdered, right, it alarmed and brought me to the – I just need to say – that there is a systemic, there's for me, in the United States of America, The dumbing down and the removal of the compassion of the black man has caused many of us to be totally insensitive to the spirituality of the reality of our responsibility. We are discussing one of the most important vital issues that we have, and that is mental health. I live in Philadelphia, and about a year and a half ago, if not so, there was a child who was a Muslim in a daycare, right, that a Muslim woman, excuse me, it was a child, all children are Muslim, but you may have heard about it nationally. And this child was taken out of her daycare and taken by a woman that was dressed in the garb, and she took this child and raped her with a broomstick. And it's not so much the horror of the crime of child abuse as it is the response and the reaction from the community, the poor black man, the people who do not have power to make decisions, basically in their emotional responses. Oh, that's a terrible crime. But you immediately had so-called local and government officials come in and say, well, we have to do something about this issue. Truly, to me, the response is not so much that we look for our leaders as much as one brother mentioned it, right? We look to ourselves. We, and Sister Aziza, you I think you touched on the issue too. We cannot overlook the trickle-down reality that since we've come to these shores, the focus of the enemy, of the beast, of this wicked creation has been to utilize children for their ultimate aim and purpose, whether it be sexual abuse or psychological abuse or any type of abuse that you could mention. So I am truly grateful not only to Minister Louis Farrakhan, but to all of the members of the Nation of Islam and all black people who are kidnapped here in America that have some type of conscious awareness of our responsibility to protect our own. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you
yes,
so
sir.
Much.
Thank you, brother.
Can I add something real quick? Because I heard the brother say something that was, I think, just for information's sake, dear brothers and sisters, I would like to say. I've embarked on a 10-week, I've been doing a lecture series here in Los Angeles. I'm in the 8th week of it, and showing the historical and chronological way that the enemy made physical slaves out of us, which is now transcended to mental slaves, where we, if not careful, if not from the by the intervention of Master Farad Muhammad and the leader, they would have been successful. There's a man, a psychiatrist, a doctor by the name of Dr. Harold Bailey in the 1950s, who was hired, him and Dr. Robert Heath was hired out of Louisiana from Tulane University. And they was hired by the CIA. Listen at what they did. You can look up their name. They conducted psychosurgery experiments. And Dr. Bailey boasted that they used blacks. He said it was cheaper to use a nigger than a cat because they were everywhere and cheap experimental animals. It said that he and the funding, now check this out, you can go get it. It's right there for us to see. Dr. Heath also received funding from the CIA to carry out drug experiments on African-American prisoners at Louisiana State Penitentiary, according to a CIA memo. They sought to determine, this is what they was doing, whether drugs, they was giving them drug experiments, and they wanted to see if these drugs, the aim was to get the drugs to have such an effect on black men that it would affect their loss of speech. They would also
gain or have a loss of sensitivity to pain. They will have a loss of memory, and these drug and psychosurgery experiments said it will in fact kill the willpower of the black man. They have been working on us for years.
Come on, Brother Minister.
Think black men are insensitive. No, something is happening.
Mm-mm.
We don't know if it's in the water. We don't know if it's in the food. And we're going to attack each other? We don't know the attack that's happening to us. What's wrong with us? Hell, I don't know. We're under attack. These people are wickedly wise in high places, man.
Come on, Brother Minister.
And mental health is a trap, man. We are right now under an experiment worse than Tuskegee. And it's coming through mental health.
Because
it's in the Bible and the Quran that the final war was going to be for hearts and minds of the people. And these men, they telling us in the 50s, we've been working on black men since the 1950s to cause them to have a loss of sensitivity to pain, loss of memory, and loss of willpower. We're on the attack, man. If it ain't by the grace of God, we are doomed.
That's right. That's right.
So this ain't them babies speaking. This is not no playtime, you know.
That's right.
And I just want, this is why I want to say to us, man, we're under attack. I don't care if you're in the nation, out of the nation. You don't know what you're drinking. You don't know what you're eating. They sending food through our grocery store. The food is cold. They got numbers on the food. We don't know what you're eating. Why ain't the men doing this? I don't know. Maybe it's something in our water. Maybe it's something in our food. They got the science on how to take the will out of us.
Yes, sir.
But they're not going to be successful. I don't
care what they do.
There will be an army that will raise up, and there will be generals that will train the army. We ain't going to lose. Well, I'm not going to punk out and be scared on what I don't see. I know what the reality is. There's two and now three strong enough to deal with all of this. So we got big backing on the wheel. We got big backing with Elijah Muhammad. We got big backing with the leader. And there ain't no other organization out there stronger than us in our weakest state.
Come on, brother. Yes, sir.
Nowhere. NAACP, none of them, the Nation of Islam, is the most powerful thing out there, even under this condition.
Yes, sir.
I love it with a passion.
Yes,
and ain't nothing weak about it. Allah make it appear to be weak so it'll be a tender trap for the enemy from within and without.
And without. Teach, Brother Tony.
So be careful what we judge.
Yes, sir.
We going to win, brothers and sisters. I'm telling y'all, man, we going to win.
Absolutely.
And the lives of being lost will be fertilizer for the spirit of us. So don't go into apathy. Don't go into sympathy. Don't go into greed.
Come on, Brother Minister.
Hold our head up high. We winning. We going to win.
That's right. That's right. All praise is due to Allah. And, you know, Brother Minister, in support of what you're saying from the scriptures, as bleak as the situation may appear to be, you are absolutely right that Allah God is here. He's present, and he's orchestrating all events to make them work for the fruition of his will. Look at what it says in Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 6th verse, regarding our children and the abuse of them. It is written, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." So what we may appear to be unable or unwilling to do, remember, God is able, and he will not allow injustice to his people any longer, not in his presence.
And he's never dependent on numbers. We've read
That's
many
right.
battles where generals had thousands of men to go to battle, and the general was comfortable with the thousands of men, but Allah scaled them back. He killed some
That's
of them
right.
off and left that man with 300. I'm telling y'all, family in the nation, man, this ain't about how many sisters we got, how many FOI we got. We don't need no million. I would love to have a million now, don't get me wrong. But when you got Master Farad Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if you got five FOI in your city, that's more powerful than 50,000 weak men.
Come on, Jesus.
You better.
See, five FOI thoroughly immersed in the true spirit of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a far greater asset than 50,000 men with lukewarm enthusiasm.
Come on, beloved.
Ooh, yes, sir.
Those five men ain't playing. They got enough to put thousands to flight. Or give me five strong MGP. They are far greater asset than 50,000 women with lukewarm enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great nation.
Come on, Brother Minister.
And it's made of planks and wood, but it's going to float. When the carnival ships won't float, the nation is going to float.
Yes, sir.
We're going to win. I just want to lift our spirits. There's hope, man. There's hope in
That's
us.
That's right. That's
and
right.
what we have to do is beg Allah to turn the spirit of the seed of Elijah, make it alive in us, that it reaches every corner of the fiber of my body, from my fingernail to my toenail to the top of my head, man. I'm begging Allah to save my wretched spirit so that I can be a better helping aider to the leader for this cause.
Yes,
but I'm a
sir.
Sinner. I'm a sinner in need of mercy, and I will never condemn another struggling Muslim who's trying to make it out of this hellfire. We wally in self-pity, man. Ain't nobody going to feel sorry for us.
Come on, beloved. Teach.
So we're going to be all right. Them babies inspired me, man, out of Virginia. I'm so touched,
mm-hmm.
you know. So thank you for these reports, man. And, we, you know, we got to keep going. I'm sorry. We keep an eye. I'm not sorry, but thank you all for letting
we
me
We understand, Brother Minister. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir.
What's the next report?
Yes, sir. Okay, area code 443. Your mic is now live.
I'm like him. Curtis from Atlanta.
Well, alaikum salam, ma'am.
I just tuned in and I rushed home because I remembered the topic that was supposed to be on tonight. But I just want to know if anybody said anything to you about this interview that's been circling around on the internet about this rabbi.
Yeah.
Sister just gave it to us, just sister. Some guy, Abraham Frankenstein or something.
Yeah, Rabbi Abraham Finkelstein, yes.
Yeah.
And
oh
it was sent to me. It was sent to me a couple of months ago, and I don't know what she said, but I, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, what he said, just in case she didn't cover everything. What startled me was that he said he was so bold, and the reverend who was interviewing him, this was a Christian minister who was interviewing him on his radio program. And he told him, he said, you're very bold to be on here talking the way you're talking. He said, we steal 200,000 to 300,000 children every year, and we sacrifice them in our basements of our synagogues, and we cut their throats, and we watch them die, and we mix their blood in with our matzahs.
Wow.
And he said, then we take the bodies and we throw them into our slaughterhouses. and we feed them back to you in our fast food restaurants like McDonald's.
Wow.
This is what he said, and the man said, "You are." He said, "Well, law enforcement knows." He said, "You're very bold to be talking the way you talk." He said, "You realize you're talking about kidnapping and murder?" And he said, "Well, law enforcement knows." He said that, but they're afraid of us. And because they don't want to be called anti-Semites. I don't know about you, but I don't give a damn about what they call me.
Come on, fam.
This is actually murder. This is actually murder in the name of religion. And you can it's probably still up on YouTube.
Now, Rabbi, I'm looking at it right now, sir.
Rabbi,
I mean, I'm not listening to it, but I'm looking.
You know, they keep
trying
to take it down, but somebody keeps putting it back up there, and, you know, good.
Yes, man. Well, you know, we have been taught that you cannot fathom the depth of Satan.
That's true.
You know, I mean, and, you know, but when I see something like that, I also want us to be very watchful, you know, because for this supposedly Jew to do that, is that a forerun to something else that's about to come down the pipe? To where if he could get on and say what he's saying and the world run and believe that, are they going to put out a video with some Negro saying he's in the Nation of Islam and what we do? And because some Negro say, "I'm a member of the Nation and this is what we do," if people just run and believe that, should they just, you know, comment? I just want to put balance. Don't get me wrong. I believe that they're capable of doing exactly what this cat is saying, but I also, I'm always leery when they putting something out about themselves. Do this guy truly represent, or is he a forerunner to something else? Because this is also an hour for the leader to be delivered by the Judas factor from among us.
Come on, Brother Minister.
Well, may I say something?
Yeah, that's all. I mean,
we had a brother who used to teach us. His name was Steve Coakley. He was from Chicago, and he stayed. I'm in Baltimore, and he stayed in Baltimore. He taught us a lot, and long before he died, he taught us about this. As a matter of fact, he gave us some books on it. So it's not a secret that they do this. But I understand what you're saying, you know, about this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no,
issue.
Don't get me wrong. That's right. That it needs to be researched, and we know us in the Nation, we have to have the actual facts.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that we're hearing he's saying that, you see, now we have to take that, research it, find out the truth of that, you know. I mean, it's okay to report what's, hey, anybody see this on YouTube? Let's go look at it. But research it even more. To find out the truth of that. I'm not, hey, I believe it's there. And that's what I love about this radio show. There's those who are listening right now, sister. We got a research department in the Nation. I'm saying
that
has to be researched. That's what I love about us. It's enough of us. Look at what them babies did. You wasn't on the phone. There was some babies in Virginia at the Respect for Life School in Virginia who training and teaching us how to find our own babies, our own children. So
that's
no, sister, I am not discrediting it. No, that's real. Let's research it. But let's also be weary of the Negro who say he was in the Nation and start lying on the leader and his and the Nation.
Come on, brother.
You know, because that's all I'm saying. But let's stay on him. Let's stay on Mr. Rabbi. And let's maybe among us, somebody else search that out and research that. And if there's information that Steve Coakley gave us, you know, let's fine-tune that information and get it to everybody.
Yes, sir.
You know, because you know, if it was a minister, these cats would be calling for his death. How do you want? You know how the Jewish people do.
That's right.
And if
that's
this right. Rabbi is giving us a gift like this, well, we need to research that. I, you know, so if somebody would take it among themselves and research it, and give us more information on that at next week or week after next, Brother James.
Yes, sir.
I want to know more about that.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, dear sister.
Thank you. Okay. Area code 570, your mic is now live. Last call number 1418.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Enrique Muhammad, also known as Muhammad Allah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, brother.
Wa alaikum. It's a pleasure to be on the call. And I just wanted to share something which I've been listening. And a few years back, 2011, I brought up Brother Professor Griff to do a talk on the Illuminati influence in hip-hop in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And one of the things that we swapped DVDs, he wanted the more recent message from Minister Farrakhan, and he swapped with me a DVD he gave me called Jewish Blood Ritual. It's a documentary by a Caucasian individual with more than enough references in that documentary to substantiate that this has been ongoing since Europe. So, you know, with them abducting children and practicing these ritual blood sacrifices. Now, the only reason why it was relevant to me at that point is because I had already been doing some research in the esoteric sciences. And what I found was that, you know, these kind of practices were being done for multiple reasons. But one of the things that struck me in this conversation that came up was that because I already knew that they were doing human trafficking, and I was going to actually make a point out of it, but your research and your comprehensive knowledge of the subject just didn't allow me to have to say anything. And so what I'm saying is that that is a real thing, and that if you get the documentary, it's called Jewish Blood Ritual. If you don't have that information, like I said, it was given to me by a brother, Professor Griff. I can forward that information to you at another time. The gentleman that is on the on the DVD, and he gives you a whole bunch of history, newspapers, articles, and recorded history.
Beautiful.
That is documented from all the way back in Europe. So it's not just something that happened in this country in the recent era. This thing has been going on in Europe, and it's one of the reasons why the Jews were disliked in whatever communities they went into. So I just wanted to throw that out there and give another reference point and a documentary that's absolutely thorough on that subject, and you can follow that up from there. And I just want to say assalamu alaikum. I thank you, and I love what you're doing, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Thank you, dear brother. I mean, and that information is the kind of thing that one of the things we're trying to do from just this conversation is to get to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and see and get his permission that we make a national call. And maybe sometime in the near future, we all can fly to Chicago or fly to a centrally located city and have a weekend conference and come out with a comprehensive strategic plan on how we're going to make how we're going to make known what we got, not just nationally, but internationally. How do we go and confront the United Nations with this information that we have? And to make sure that our information is so solid, the proof of it is so strong that it'll make monkey cry.
Yes, sir. Can I say something real quick, beloved?
Absolutely, soldier.
Brother, the foundation, the strongest foundation to substantiate a lot of this that's going on is in the two books. The secret relationship between blacks and Jews, but it's so much in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. Thank you, brother. This is good, y'all. Good. I'm thoroughly impressed. We got a heck of a team here.
All praise be to Allah.
Next call.
Let me refresh my screen. Okay, we don't have any more calls right now, but I a text message from Brother Captain Curtis, and he has informed me that Brother Minister Akbar's daughter has transitioned in Africa. He didn't give me her name. He said the oldest daughter. So let's keep Brother Minister Akbar in our prayers, and he's on his way to Africa now. And so please, let's keep our dear brother in our prayers. And
yes, ma'am.
And I, hold on. Okay, I think we got another call. I'm not sure. Hold on. Area code 718, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum. How you doing, sister? This is Suleiman Asghar. I called you yesterday. I'm calling today. This is another very interesting topic show you have today. Also, can this be another transatlantic slave trade that they're doing? Not only that, maybe to take these kids and bring them to another country, you know, brainwash them and have put them in authority position in other countries. Because
come on,
many kids are disappearing, you know, and it just doesn't make you know, that could be happening. Don't you agree, brother?
Yes. Absolutely.
Because it's happening in other countries, and it could continue to happen again. Because too many kids are disappearing, and they're disappearing at a young age. I mean, you can't transfer organs at a young age to an adult. You know, too many young children are disappearing, and I don't think it's all for prostitution. It could be for slave. It's another form of transatlantic slave trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brother, you know, all of that has to be taken under consideration, particularly when you're dealing with the police department report was, they didn't say this is a $64 billion problem. They said this is a $64 billion business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a business. So all of that has to be taken under consideration. And that's why we need our own forensic experts. We need our own investigators who are loyal to us, who will leave no stone unturned. We need to have our own level of the CIA and FBI within our own community. You know, so none of that can be left out of this equation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, dear brother. Okay. Before we go, I want to thank our sponsors again. You know, I want to give a salute out to the BYC, to Ariel's Bakery, Our Nation's Bread, to Club 17, Brother Bateen and Brother Rakeem. And I want to ask that all of the organizations, you know, whether you BYC, whether you Black Hebrew Life, whether you New Black Panther Party, Old Black Panther Party, FOI, whatever you are, you know, I'm calling on my brother, you know, to be more vigilant in the community. I'm calling on my sisters to be more watchful. I'm asking my sisters to come together, get to know your neighbors, know who is in your community. And I'm asking my sisters to come together because, you know, with things being the way that they are now, you know, we can't leave our children alone. You know, we have a lot
That's
of
right.
key children. And our last
That's
key
right.
children get younger and younger every year. So, sisters, get to know your neighbors. Get you know, form those bonds and look out for one another's children. You know, let one go out or go to the grocery store or do what they got to do, and you watch their children and vice versa. You know, we are losing the most important resource that we have, and that is our children. And we can't replace that. You know, we can't replace them. So I just want to call on all of these organizations, you know, NAACP, whoever you are, you know, you cannot afford to be uninvolved. Being involved is not acceptable. It's not. And you can, and in my opinion, I'm not being harsh, but that is a cowardly way out to turn a blind eye on a human life.
That's right.
Like you, and especially one that comes from you. I'm asking all of the fathers who have a disassociated relationship with their children, for whatever it is, whatever the reason may be, find your children, establish a relationship, let them know that you are there to protect them. The saddest thing I ever seen is someone going to the funeral of a child that either they didn't know about or hadn't seen for a number of years. We can do better than this. And half of the behavior of some of our children is because they don't feel secure at home. They don't feel love at home. They're looking for love in all the wrong places, and they end up dead. I got children in my on my court list right now that have very dysfunctional homes, and they're in all kinds of trouble, doing all kinds of things. And I have some children that were on my case list 5 years ago. They're not here today. So really have to hang on to our children. This is the most valuable asset that we have. I cannot stress it enough. So for the entire summer months, from June 1st all the way up until September, I'm dedicating either one or two of these broadcasts a week to this cause. And every week, we want to put forth the effort to find one of our missing children. That means I'm depending on everybody in every city and every state to at least commit to the process that this fifth grader, oh, my God, oh, Allah,
this
fifth grader from Respect for Life did her research, was able to tell us the details of what happened to a child. We can do that.
That's
we
right.
can do that. And we can do more. So out of the mouth of babes, I'm like, wow. And I am so, my heart is full,
yeah.
but it's joyful. It's
yeah.
joyful
yeah.
in a sad situation of the work that they've done. And Sister Tasha told me about her daughter, and I was like, okay, you know, yeah, bring on, we want to hear from her. But, man, there are no words. But that's our example. And we have to do it for her. And you have to look in the faces of your babies and do it for them. And you know good and well that if something happened to your child, you will want every neighbor, every relative to be out with their boots on the ground searching for your children. So let's show them the same consideration that we would want if that would happen. Not go around and stand around and ask a bunch of questions, but, hey, where was she last seen? What was the direction? That's where we're going to go. You go this way. I go that way. We go into this house. We go into this store. We go into this building. Whatever it is, we need to do it. And we don't need to wait on law enforcement to tell us whether we can or whether we can't or whether they ran
That's
away,
right.
whether they skipped away. We need to put our boots on the ground and look for our children, and no one can stop us from doing that. So I pray that all of you will continue to join me this summer on this effort to find our missing children. I'm personally going to take on five. And if you're on the Internet, you see the five children that I have selected, five young, beautiful sisters that I have selected, and I'm going to use my resources along with the Justice Department, the FBI, Brazos County Sheriff's Department, and we're going to pool our resources together, and we're going to see what we can dig up on these girls. They're from all over the country, so I can't just commit myself to Texas. I'm from a little bit of everywhere, but please, if it's one or two, please go to the Missing and Exploited Children's. I think they have a Black Missing Youth page on Facebook.
Yes.
Select a child and commit to the process. And thank you,
absolutely,
Brother James, for allowing me that time.
Oh, dear,
yes,
sister,
ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well,
and, go ahead, Brother Minister.
No, I thank you, Sister Queen Aziza. Just as a follow-up, Sister Queen, if you couldn't compile those who was not able to give their report with what you've already done from the Justice Department, let's gather as many reports as we can. And Sister Aziza, if you, myself, and Brother James can conference in the next couple of days, so that
yes,
we can
sir.
Get back on the airways and say to the listeners who want to be involved what our next steps will be. And I would hope that we could convene a national meeting in Washington, D.C. So when we finish, a part of that meeting will be to go and confront the White House and try to hand them our findings and what are they going to do about it. While at the same time, those reason why I want to do it in D.C. is because of those babies in Virginia. And let them be the highlight.
Come on, brother.
Yes.
Of the conference, you know, looking for our babies, you know.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we'll give it a name that I think would be good, and then we can in each city that want to get involved, it just can't be a movement of just those of us that the nation will spearhead it, but we have to make it catch on in the open community. And
that's
that we
right.
can give those listeners who want to be involved what our next move will be. So, inshallah, myself, and Brother James, we'll get back with the listening audience in, let's say, 1 week, you know, with the next step.
Absolutely.
Oh, praise
all right.
be to Allah. Yes, sir.
I'm also
yes, sir.
Going to reach out to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm going to try my best to get him on in July, but I am going to send him some data on these broadcasts, and I'm going to send him the data from the Justice Department, and I want him in particularly to give us our marching orders. You know, that's what we have to do in the nation, get our marching orders in the direction in which he would desire for us to go with this as well. We have to have the minister weigh in on this, and I'm so sure, without a doubt, that he will. So that's what
beautiful.
We're working on a lot around the 4th of July, which is very significant for us. We're going to try to have the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan join us. So
beautiful, sister. Beautiful.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. That's what we're working on. So, inshallah, we'll make it happen.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Okay, Brother James, we have some. I wanted to share this with from Dennis from Denver, Colorado. Dennis works with a search and rescue team, and he specifically searches for Native Americans in the Denver, Colorado area, and he says that since 1990, over 4,300 Native Americans are missing.
Mm.
So that's just in Denver. That's just one location. So you can imagine as we go from city to city and state to state how these numbers multiply. And
that's
so you know that they actually document a report every quarter. And so if you're in an off period, the numbers can increase, and especially for black children. Black children go missing between the months of May and September more than any other time of the year. And that is very significant because that is usually during the time of summer vacation. It's usually during the time where there's a lot of traveling, a lot of moving around, a lot of children that are at home by themselves, unsupervised. So these are the things that we have to tighten up on our in our community as a point of prevention because we can't go looking for some more children and lose the ones we have. So we also have to implement points of prevention in our communities, and part of that is getting to know your neighbors. Part of that is forming that sisterhood where someone that is responsible and trustworthy are watching our children when we are having to go to work or run errands or whatever it is that we can't take them along. We have to do better in the care and the supervision of our children. I know sometimes we want to let our children go outside and play, and we turn our backs, and we don't know what's happening. It happens just that fast. So we must always stand vigilant on the watch of our children. So, Brother James, I'm going to let you close us out. And if you don't mind, Brother James, can you close us out in a prayer? Because we really, really want to keep this going. And I want to pray for all of the, especially for the Respect for Life Academy and the work that they're doing. And I want to pray for all of those organizations who are out there really doing the work every day.
Yes, dear sister. And, you know, I must say that there's nothing more sincere and more eloquent an appeal than one that is made by a woman and a mother regarding this issue about our children. There's nothing that I could say more sincere or more appealing than you have shared with us. And I want to thank you for the statistics, because along with the emotional expression and content, the quality of your compilation of facts was such that as Minister Tony is directing us, when we do present them or our case to who we, by the grace of Allah and the permission of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, will present, and I can't think of anybody beside the minister, of course, than you, Brother Minister Tony, to be the spokesperson for this particular appeal, presentation, and calling to account of those in leadership in Washington, D.C. on this particular issue. I want to thank you.
Thank you,
Brother Minister. And at your convenience, of course, you know I'm a phone call away, and I'll be checking with you whenever you want to convene this conference. I'm at your disposal, as I'm sure our beloved Queen Aziza, Mariam Mohammed, is as well.
Yes, sir. We'll conference after the show, and let's come up with a date where we conference and then get right back to the people. I'm just touched, man, and I'm just beyond wanting to do something. It's time to move. And Sister Queen, you have really led this, and thank you because without what you've done for us, without your cry, and without the information that you helped to feed and fuel this conversation, it wouldn't be happening, you know.
That's right.
And around the Jesus, around the Christ on the last day, it's no coincidence it was women, you know.
Yes, sir.
And so I have to see God's hand in it through women and through what you all are doing. But your cry will be heard, and God
That's
will
right.
stand up men. These
That's
dry
right.
bones will come an exceedingly great army, you know, and we know we want to see it in our lifetime. But even if I don't get to see it, I know of a surety I can die with a smile on my face, because
come on,
I know we're going to inherit the promised land. It's going to happen.
That's
so
right.
thank
yes,
you, and Brother
yes.
James,
I'll
please pray us out.
All
wait, Brother James. You were
yes.
calling for Scotty earlier, and I didn't know he was here until now, so we can't let him get away. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Oh, yes.
Wa alaikum salam.
All praises be to Allah. Yes, I was calling for you, brother. I even sent out a threat, but but all praise is due to Allah. Wonderful to hear your voice, dear brother.
Yes, sir. You also, and you have to forgive me, but you know I'm working long hours now. You know, because this is that time of year for me.
Yes.
So when I did finally get in here, I tuned into the show, but I've just been listening, and you know, everybody that knows me know I'm already boots on the ground, and the bottom line is whatever I can do to help. You know, I'm there. So I mean, this
yes sir. Yes sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother Kareem.
And yeah, if I may, Sister Aziza.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Then let us pray. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Our prayer at this time is based in the scriptural words recorded in Psalms, the 127th chapter, the 3rd to the 5th verse, and it reads, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." O Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Faraz Muhammad, we pray you in the name of your exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and your servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as we endeavor to take this undertaking on, we ask for your presence, your power, and your spirit to guide us. And no matter what obstacles might be placed in our path by the Satan of self and the Satan of the world, we ask that thou would bless us with consistency, conviction, commitment, obedience to you, and love for our people. Let us take the responsibility to protect, to save, to secure, to maintain our family and our future represented in our children. No nation, no people can get respect from the civilized nations of the world if we do not manifest that we are concerned, loving, and protective both of our women and our children. We ask you, O Allah, to remove from us cowardice, fear, to remove from us doubt.
Yes.
Let us lift up your name and lift up your banner of truth as given to us by your servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and let us demonstrate some of the integrity, the courage, the bravery, and strength of faith that you have bestowed in him manifest in the great battle that he has undertaken for over 5 going on 6 decades.
Amen.
Thank you, Allah, for your servant, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Thank you, Allah, and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, for our beloved and blessed Redeemer, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Amen.
Amen.
So, Brother Minister, and I want to thank our audience for staying with us, tuning in every week, and please, we will be right back at you with information as to how we're going to organize this effort under the leadership, under the leadership of Student Minister Tony Muhammad, the great leadership of our Queen and Sister Aziza Mariam Muhammad, and whatever your little brother can contribute.
And the great leadership of Student Minister James. So
James Muhammad,
all praise,
yes.
That's right.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. And Brother Minister, we're going to speak with you right after this call.
Yes.
All praise
yes.
is due to Allah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, Brother Tony. All right, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.